My name is Matt James.
I was in chess club.
Our bachelor doesn't have pants on.
People invite me into their homes on Monday night.
I'm having constant conversations with my mom.
You got people who are cheering for you to find love. I don't want to piss off black people. I don't want to piss off white people. But I'm both of those. That's a lot.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, gang.
Hello. Welcome to episode 8.
Yeah.
This is a show about hometowns.
It is. You know, it's nice to watch this show when things happen as they are supposed to. You know? When things...
No, why don't you explain?
You know, sometimes 1 + 1 does equal 2.
Every time. From the mathematics perspective. Every time.
Agree to disagree. you know, sometimes it's great to watch the show in a procedural fashion. You know, sometimes you watch...
This is a long setup.
JTV. Or, Law & Order SVU.
I don't watch those, but I'm aware.
I know that at a certain point, we've already seen who the killer is. Also, at a certain point, we know that we will get to an outcome that will allow me to sleep.
Did somebody die in this episode? Did I miss it?
I'm giving
Was there a murder?
I'm giving you an analogy. Yes, there was a murder.
Oh.
There was.
Keep listening to find out all the gory details.
Keep listening to find out who done it. And then you get to the end and you go, yeah, that sounds about right. This episode was very much that. But before we get into it, Adam, do you have any new injuries to report?
You know what? It's funny that we're starting this way. I do have new injuries to report.
Would you like to report a murder?
Do you remember how a few weeks ago I started the episode off with an embarrassing story about having thrown out my back coughing in the shower? Do we remember this?
I do remember this very vividly.
Well, I was recovered from that. We reported about it on subsequent episodes. My back was totally fine.
Or so we thought.
Or so we thought. This morning, I was walking. I was taking our audio producer out for a walk.
Mm.
You know?
She was using the ladies' room.
She had to use the ladies out. It's hard to say it with a straight face. She had to use the ladies'
room. She used the ladies' room.
She had relieved herself out in the middle of the public street.
Correct.
Which she can do.
Specifically at Anza and Parker.
She had to use the ladies'
Sometimes
out in the middle of the road.
In the middle of the street.
She had done it in the middle of the road. Mm. And I was bending over to clean up her mess, and I came with sort of a hitch in the getup. I bent over correctly.
Not a hitch in your giddy up. That's different.
So I
that's a bit of a Friend of Dorothy.
I bent over correctly.
Did you?
I cleaned up her restroom area, and then I took a pit stop on the way back up. Because my back had quit working. And now my back hurts again. If you were to listen to this episode,
yep.
Episode 8,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what it is, 4 or 5, back to back, you would hear backstories to open up both episodes. It'd be back to back, back drama. Injuries. This is by far, season 17 now of our show, by far the least healthy season I've had ever, I think.
I don't think that's true.
I'm playing through pain. Oh, I tore my MCL.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah, you are always hurt. Always playing hurt.
Podcasting is a dangerous career.
You're always playing hurt, buddy.
You know, you hear about, you know, weekly our listeners tune in Tuesday mornings, whatever, and they hear, you know, the glory of podcasting. They hear the end product. It looks polished and clean. Mm-hmm. What they don't hear is all the, you know, the tearing and snapping and the back end. It's a lot.
And the snoring on my part. Sometimes I fall asleep editing the show.
Oh my God. It was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. We're editing this thing. And it's late, you know.
It's late.
The Bachelor ends for us at 10 o'clock at night. And we get into the bed and into the editing booth.
Better.
And I looked over. We were like an hour into the episode, into editing it. And I look over and Taylor is asleep like a cartoon character. With her head thrown back and her tongue out, and she's like...
My tongue wasn't out, my mouth was open, but my tongue wasn't out. It's different. What you're saying is different.
Her mouth is open, her head is back, and she's like...
It was ajar.
She's like
My mouth was ajar.
She's lightly breathing heavily.
I snore. Everybody knows.
Taylor snores. And so, and I go, Taylor, are you asleep? And she just...
What did I say?
She just jolts awake. She goes, yep. Yep. I was like...
At least I said it.
I'm like, you're editing the show right now. You're asleep at the wheel.
Who knows how much I missed. So sorry if there were some errant curse words in one episode that you listened to recently. I was asleep.
I think we went back and fixed it, but oh, boy. Taylor fell asleep in the editing booth.
You know, as I say sometimes, it bees like that.
She didn't just fall asleep. She fell asleep like if you were playing charades and the clue was, I'm asleep right now, and you had to act it out so that somebody else could guess it.
One
that
word.
Is exactly how she
One word
it.
Sounds like sheep.
Looks like snoring.
Sounds like sheep. Looks like.
So that's where we are right now.
Okay, so hometown. So as you may remember from Tayshia's season, the COVID experience has caused us to do hometowns a little bit differently. So the contestants are taking the lead on sort of a faux hometown journey. Let me recreate the experience for you of me and you gallivanting through my hometown. And then they bring in 2 to 3 important people in their lives.
It is an import. It's weird to call them hometowns. Right. It's family meeting. Not even really family meeting. It's parental meetings. And that's it. And you sort of loosely get another one-on-one date. But it's hardly a hometown.
Right.
You know?
But I do like this. I like the intimacy of it.
I don't like it.
Oh, God.
I don't like it because I'm proud of my hometown. And I love that I'm from Springfield. And I love that I can go to all my favorite little places. You know, I like to bring you back, you know, and be like, for the first time, this is where I grew up. Look at all these places. I have a story about basically every block in Springfield, Illinois. I did something at some point in my life in basically every part of the town. And I love sharing that with people.
I.e., Adam was trying to say he was running the streets of Springfield, Illinois. However, what I'm trying to say is that I love the intimacy of this, and it also prevents that dreaded hometown experience when you go and meet somebody's family and there's 400 people there that don't need to be there.
She doesn't even go here.
The show could eliminate that.
And like, not, and I... Not,
here's a barbecue. Everyone from my church is
right,
here.
Right. Like, what? Stop. Like, and that's, I think I've pretty much said this on the show before. I love an intimate hometown date. And all of these are that. Like, remember when, no, you don't. I don't even know why I would say that. Jason from.
I have no memory of this.
I know. Jason from Becca's season when they went to Buffalo and they ate buffalo wings and then Becca ate the buffalo wings really bad.
I do remember this.
Because it was
I
awful.
Do remember this.
And he had his parents and then his brother and his brother's husband.
I remember this because it had buffalo wings in it, which is.
That's why I picked that this example.
That is the number one best food there is.
But like it was a small hometown. It was just the four of them with Becca and Jason, and I was like, yes. And it was tasteful, and it was at their home, and it was all very cute, and then they had a nice dinner, and everybody was talking in the house, and it was cute, and
yeah.
It was fab.
No, you're right. Like, less is more here.
Less is more here. So the fact that we are shifting more towards the intimacy, I can't imagine that they're not having better conversations, too, because there's not a lot of, you know, travel and flash involved. Because if everybody's all in the same room, you know, getting all wrapped up in the home and getting all wrapped up in, you know, whatever gross food mom's going to make that isn't seasoned, you know, becomes less of an issue.
So this week, there are 4 dates with 4 women, and there are 4 different points of conflict in those. So first one up, Michelle. This is the smoothest date by far. This has... no interruptions. The interesting point of conflict.
This date has everything.
This date has everything. The interesting point of conflict in this one is that there isn't one. Nobody objects to anything and everyone has a great time.
So this date made me upset.
And it made me sick. It's like the sentence I just said and the sentence you just said are not about the same date.
It made me upset.
Oh,
it
go
made
ahead.
Me really sad.
Explain.
It made me sad because this was probably the best experience that Matt could have had on a date. Like, they had that great bike ride. They met her students.
They wore the same thing.
They wore the same outfit. You know, the two of them identify so closely with one another in terms of their ambitions, where they want to go with their lives, the things that they're passionate about, the reasons that they've gotten into the work that they've gotten into. And he's not going to pick her. And it is infuriating to me. Like, they match so well on every single level. And he's not going to pick her.
I mean, well, you can't help what you're into.
I mean,
obviously.
Like, at some point, that can't be the excuse anymore. Like, I understand that people...
he's not into her.
I understand that people like certain people, but, like... oh, God. This really made me upset. So
they get together. They're wearing the same thing. They ride bikes. They do a very cute little meeting with the Zoom meeting with her students.
This was unbelievable.
Do we know what grade she teaches? They look like they're maybe first or second grade. Does that seem... I don't know how old the child is.
I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt and say second grade. Two sets of twins, by the way. Didn't know if anybody noticed that. Boy twins
are awesome.
Hey, man. You know, only if they're identical in my mind.
Oh.
You heard me.
That's brutal.
Well, I said what I said.
They're not identical. They're just brothers.
Well?
It's sort of true.
It's definitely true.
Hey, shut up.
Hey, man.
Take that opinion and just throw it away.
No.
Fraternal twins are great.
You don't know.
You guys are just brothers, okay?
I just gave you that line.
I know, but I wanted to reiterate it for a fact.
So... this was cute.
It was extremely cute.
The little kids have these little, you know, these little kid questions like, oh my God, are you guys going to kiss?
Is that your boyfriend? Like, are you going to marry her? And then one of the kids.
Bro, have you seen the show before? We're 1 week away from way more than that.
I mean, maybe they did. One of the kids asked a really nice question, like, how does Miss Young inspire you? Children.
I think that was a planted question.
Obviously, they're all planted questions, Adam.
These kids are just reading off of the cue cards. I don't want to say it's obvious.
They're babies. They can't think.
It's cute.
It's all very cute.
It's cute. Could you imagine? One of my friends from home was sending me like Instagram messages while she watched this, and she was like, "Could you imagine if this happened with one of our teachers?" And I was like, honestly, no. All of my, like, growing up, when I was that age, you know, your teachers are so asexual. The idea that this is a person who's out there, like, dating and living their own life.
Is insane.
I can't even have that feeling.
I had a teacher in first grade who did get married. It was the most insane thing that ever happened. No, I wasn't invited. But it was, like, a thing. Like, I mean, we went home for the summer. And then we came back and she had a different name. And we were like...
who is this imposter?
What happened? You're the same person, but why is your name different? And none of the kids, because we were all in like first grade, couldn't figure out why she had a different name. And then also, scandal of the Catholic school system in Dayton, Ohio.
Uh-oh.
Our priest.
You heard it here, 20 years later.
30 years later. Well, you know the math. I don't. Our priest.
How old do you think you are?
Okay. I don't have a good answer for that.
Great.
Our priest left the school to go get married.
Whoa.
Girl, it was insane.
To get married to somebody on a reality TV dating show?
No, but he left to get married. And now that I look back on it, if I saw a photo of him now, he was kind of hot. He looked like a young John Elway.
Oh.
Right.
This old John Elway's kind of got it going a little
bit. No. No. You know Troy Aikman is my boo. Truly. Troy Aikman can get it, have it, and keep it, okay?
So
John Elway, not my favorite.
So
Tony Gonzalez, however. Ha! Woo!
So this is Michelle's date. After this, we go meet her family. It's just mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The important thing, to me... is that Matt says, you know, I feel like I can move to Minnesota. She likes her job.
I loved him saying that. That was amazing. Like, this guy who is, like, a philanthropist and is, like, doing stuff in the community is like, yeah, I'll move to Minnesota. I've never heard anybody say that.
It's usually the other way around where yes. the bachelor or bachelorette is like, I'm going to live in Los Angeles now because I'm a weird TV celebrity and I require you to move to LA.
Right, right.
This was the opposite.
Very, very much a change of pace. And so, again, makes me upset that Matt is not going to pick Michelle. The other thing, so Michelle's parents, you know, come and they're asking, you know, Matt and Michelle questions. There was something that was very interesting that they brought up. Two things. One, he started the hometown date by letting her talk, which I thought was interesting. They sat down and she initially started talking.
Did most of them happen that way? I didn't take notes on this.
No. He let Michelle talk first. And then he mentioned that
she's so tall. Maybe the words, like her words just beat his out.
Right.
Like she's just so tall.
He couldn't, yeah, they couldn't.
It's weird that the other three are, I don't know what, like 5'1" or something?
No, Rachel's kind of tall. Well, comparatively.
Michelle is like close to a foot taller than anybody else.
Yeah, she's truly very tall. So the other thing was that, you know, Matt mentions that Michelle was one of the second group of girls that came in and that immediately he was drawn to her. And then he said, and I requested a one-on-one with Michelle. We never see behind the curtain to this effect because usually sometimes the dates happen in kind of a roundabout way. Colton had talked about this before where he would give them a fake list of women that he wanted to go out with and then in turn sort of like try to game the system. So it's interesting that Matt would open the curtain and say, I requested a one-on-one date with Michelle, because that's not really something that they would ever really talk about.
What if he just said that because, like, what if he's planting this idea in our minds after the fact? We know he went a one-on-one with her the second she was on the show. What if he's just retroactively editing history?
Do you think he's that smart?
I don't know. He's trying to sell himself to her parents.
He doesn't seem like a swindler. He doesn't seem like somebody that would be like, I'm not saying, you know.
He's a massager. I don't want to say swindler.
I'm not saying, like,
I'm not saying he's swindling. The swindulation is...
He seems like, minimal. He doesn't seem like the kind of person that would say, oh, I need to say something to make me look good. He doesn't seem like that kind of person to me. So then, this was the other thing that got me about this date. I can't remember if it was Michelle or her father that mentioned something that happened 2 years ago.
It was just the two of them talking.
Yes.
It was like, you know how this always happens. They're sitting around, everyone's introducing everyone, and then one of the parents goes, hey, my kid, can I talk? Do you mind if we chat? Let's go chat for a second. You know, all these parents just independently have the same thought. Let me go chat with you for a second. So Dad takes Michelle aside, and in the course of their conversation, I think it's Michelle says something like, well, you know what happened 2 years ago?
What happened?
And no, I don't know what happened 2 years
ago. I don't either.
That was the end of it.
And, like, she was crying, and it was really rough, and, like, you know, she said something like, everybody had to, like, pick me up off of the floor. Yeah. It was, like...
It was in the context of, like...
bad.
I don't know if I can move on from that. I don't know if that's going to scare me away from... It was a big, scary, dark cloud of something that happened 2 years ago, and then that was the last we ever talked about.
So, this, again, is another reason why this show is just not doing it. Period, on many levels. Like, this conversation about what happened with Michelle 2 years ago, this conversation about, you know, when Michelle's parents asked her about, you know, what do you like about him? And Michelle essentially said, he's a philanthropist. He's creating this hydro garden for kids who, you know, have never experienced farming before in the city. Where the hell was that? I mean, the two of them had been having all these conversations about the income gap, about, you know, education and stuff. And we spent hours on this mean girl, toxic bull. And we weren't even talking about who Matt is as a person, one. And two, investing in Michelle, who's literally going to hometowns and is going to be the top two. What is happening? That's what I have to say.
This was a smooth date.
Okay.
No, the parents, like, Mom sort of lightly had some objections. She was like, don't you think this is a little bit fast?
Yes, girl.
But
we all
that do. Wasn't, you know, That's what happens on the show. There's no way for it to happen slow. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
So then we kind of play basketball for a little bit, which is very cool.
That was amazing. Mom was serving hoops. It seems like she used to play.
We played boys against girls, classic playground style.
Very cute.
And mom was, like, mom was good.
Mom was good.
Mom was, it was not one of those things where, like, you know, she kind of takes it and she has this crazy shot where she half cocks it behind her head and she throws it out of nowhere and it banks in.
No.
Mom, you know, and we got the one time she made it on camera. No, mom has actual shooting form. Mom is a legitimate basketball
player.
She
was guarding Matt in her Chico scarf serving.
I mean, he's wearing these tight jeans. Like, it's not like he's...
I can't talk about Matt's clothes right now. I just can't.
Matt wears... Matt puts on an outfit. Then they shrink Ray the clothes as tight as possible. Then he gets in water and they just shrink wrap it onto him. It's... And his pants are 9 inches too short all the time.
I don't understand why he thinks that he doesn't look like Frozone, because he does.
He...
His clothes are so tight, it looks like a super suit.
The entire season, his pants have never been... The bottom cuff of his pants has never been, never once been within 4 inches of his shoes.
I would truly like to see him in a relaxed fit jean. He must... Just for the
hell of it. He must think he has the world's sexiest ankles. I gotta show, I'm not gonna deny the world of this. I gotta show everyone what I'm packing in Anktown.
It's like I can truly see the outlay. I'm sure he has to be.
His clothes are so small.
He has to be wearing briefs or a thong because it...
We wear the same size clothes, okay? And I'm like 5'8", 9", like 155 pounds. Okay,
thanks for using the first number that you used.
You know what?
Sometimes you say you're 5'9".
And sometimes I throw my back out and I got to walk hunched forward. You know, my height changes.
You really have been walking around the house with the posture of Black China.
Look who's talking... First of all, look who's talking about somebody's size.
Hey, man.
5'1".
Let me tell you something. I know I need a stool for stuff. And speaking of stools, so Rachel was...
Wow, I guess we're just getting to the second date.
Yeah, Rachel was the second hometown date. So this date really was the opportunity for her to get Matt out of his comfort zone. And
I hate this.
You know, it's always really about getting people out of the comfort zone.
Have we ever done a season without this?
Getting someone out of their comfort zone?
No, not that. This specific thing. Like, we are going to go skydiving or bungee jumping or some extreme sport. We're going to get this. And you're going to, like... You're gonna die at this word
point. Hold on. Let me get my things.
Take a leap together, or a leap of faith, however you want to call it. We're gonna take a leap together and fall in love.
I was surprised that you didn't lead with fall in love, but okay.
What happens in sequence?
Well, so...
You leap, then you fall.
Rachel drives up in a Prowler. It has truly been 20 years since I've seen a Prowler, and I didn't realize how petite they are, and they're kind of cute. And so... They drive down this long airstrip to this airplane. They get
He's blindfolded, by the way. She goes, do you trust me? He gets in, whatever.
Yeah. So they start skydiving, and everybody's falling.
They start skydiving.
They start, so they...
The most anti...
So they get out of the car, and then they start skydiving.
It's not really that easy, you know?
So they get out of the car.
There's a lot of buildup to it.
They get on the plane, and then they start skydiving. So, of course, you know, during this whole time, Matt's like, this is such a majestic experience. This is so cool.
I love surprises. This is the perfect day.
Everybody's having fun. Rachel's having fun. It's great. And so Matt makes this smooth landing. It's all great. And then Rachel's partner, you can see that she's coming down.
Yo, we got to talk about this.
And down.
So they, when you start skydiving, you don't just jump on your own.
I mean, you've been skydiving.
I have been skydiving. Your first, I don't know what it is, like 10 or so times, before you get a license to do it on your own, you have to jump with an actual professional strapped to your back, which is an extremely healthy policy. The problem is, Rachel's dude is like 12 years old.
Yeah!
You're watching it and you're kind of just like, wait a second. Are these the two best guys they have? Because, like, we're on TV here. The two best people should be strapped to them, you know?
Honey, this is Pennsylvania. Imagine how many.
What's the problem with Pennsylvania?
Listen, I said what I said. I wouldn't trust anybody to skydive in Dayton, Ohio. How often are you skydiving in Dayton, Ohio?
I don't know. Me personally?
How often should you be skydiving in Dayton, Ohio? Never.
I just don't feel like you should be able to have a 12-year-old doing this. First of all, you go skydiving on a date because you want, what, you trying to get somebody to fear pee on you or what? There's the experience of skydiving. You think you know what it's going to be like, and it actually, it's exactly like that.
Well, how long does the whole thing take? Because, I mean,
it's a couple of minutes. So No.
But, like, the whole, like, the time frame that it takes
for an hour.
Fly up
maybe
and then get down.
You spend, like...
I would be nervous about, like, the fear pee part, because I would say, okay, when do I need to stop drinking water
today? The longest part of the entire process is watching the videos and doing the training and everything on the ground.
Getting on a jet ski.
Yes. Then you get in the plane, and it's, I don't know, 20, 30-minute ride up. Then you jump out, and it's a 1 or 2 minute actual fall. Maybe 1 minute is even long. It might not even be that. It feels like a long time because you don't breathe the entire time. And then you pull the chute, and you're doing a controlled parachute fall for maybe 5-6 minutes. Then you land, you throw all the stuff, you give them all the gear back, and you leave.
And you just walk off from where you landed?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically it. So, again, her instructor is 12. This guy obviously, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's never driven a car before.
He's as old as Bree's.
How could he drive a person 2 miles out of the sky?
So, as Rachel's coming down, it doesn't look like she's slowing down. And
there's a reason for that. She's not.
She's not. And so Rachel hits the ground.
Like
hard.
Matt lands first, and he lands
just beautifully.
Classic just thing.
Legs in the air. Gorgeous.
Pull your legs up. You let your butt hit the ground.
Nice and smooth. Like hitting powder.
We turn, and Rachel's coming down, and she is smoothly gliding into the parabola of this experience.
It looks like a pendulum swinging back and forth.
Her 12-year-old is steering them directly down, and she has not a rough landing like you expect on this show, you know, where they, it's sort of bad, but they bring in the ambulance anyway, you know. She thwacks the
ground.
Was
a thwack.
She goes, bang.
It was a boom down.
she gets up from it, and her nose is a little
Her nose is bleeding. Like, her face is bruised. She looks like she, like, there's grass all in her hair. Like, it is very clear that there was a cut, like an edit, where Matt was running over and Rachel looked like, I've been in a car accident.
She gets up and, like, there's grass all in her hair.
Yeah,
you can see she's starting to develop, like, a black eye, like, bruises on her face.
Yeah.
And then we cut away for a second.
And she has a full face of makeup on, and her hair is, like, perfectly brushed down, and they're sitting on this, like, on the landing pad. And I'm like, huh.
To
show us a time had passed.
They either took her away, put her through all the way through hair and makeup, and then resituated her on the grass sitting down again to talk to Matt, or they just came and applied all of it while she sat there, basically unconscious. And then put the smelling salts under her nose. And they're like, all right, you're back on the date.
Shoot it.
Go for it.
This
poor girl. She has no idea where she is.
I, among everything that's happening, I did feel bad that she did hit the ground like she hit. It looked painful.
It's not like when you watch the show and they exaggerate the contact in, like, a weird flag football game, and they bring the ambulance and take someone to the hospital.
I mean, they're
because they have, like, a sprained ankle.
To stuff too.
It's not like that. This is an actual injury.
Homegirl fell out of the sky, like the house that hit the Wicked Witch of the East.
Exactly.
Thwack.
So now it's time for dinner.
Fun.
We've got mom and dad and a sister who looks almost exactly like the mother.
And dad looks spicy?
I would say that.
Which, again, makes me question.
He is spicy.
What has been going on? So, of course, in classic Bachelor fashion, Rachel's dad is a skeptic of the process.
the thing that makes this date unique is that Dad is the point of conflict.
Yes.
He, the entire time, he talks to Matt individually, he talks to Rachel individually, he talks to everyone. He is never shown without a drink in his hand.
No.
He is, he's just like, he's the person who doesn't understand the process. He's like, wait, what? You're dating three other women?
He's the man of the country.
It's only happened a couple. It's only happened a couple of months. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah, that was something.
Do you really think you could be in love with somebody? You know.
So the only thing that I will mention about this is, for as much as Rachel has been very vocal about her insecurity and like, you know, I'm so sweet and I don't think I'm that kind of person, blah blah blah. Her mom asked her, you know, well, what do you think, or do you think that he's going to pick you, or do you think that he's going to, if Matt's going to say something to you? Rachel said, I'm different. You know, I'm different. He's different with me. Like, I'm not like other girls that he's with, which is such a weird thing for her to say, especially if all we know about her is this whole, I'm so insecure, like, you know, I don't think I deserve you kind of thing. Those are two totally different narratives.
I think she's like that with him because she wants to entice the whatever out of him, the reassurance out of him, you know.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
No, whatever. People do this. She wants to draw the validation out of him. It's always attractive to hear that somebody else is into you, especially somebody that you're into. Mm. You know, I think she likes to set him up for opportunities to come in and be the rescuing reassurer and
to gas her up.
Basically this entire family experience is everyone just taking a turn with Dad suffering through the process.
Right. And so the one main thing that, of course, her dad said was, well, if he ends up picking you, then if you're happy, we're happy.
I'm happy if you're happy.
That's the worst thing you could say to anybody.
So, I mean, that's the entire date is just Dad being upset and everyone trying to pacify him. It still blows my mind that parents of contestants don't really understand how the show works or let the producers talk them into getting this edit. Somebody every season does this.
Yeah.
And it just amazes me that people have these, you know, legitimate or illegitimate, whatever, however they happen, these I don't know what, like, confusions.
I mean, this is just a narrative of the show. Like, you know, the show tries to figure out what the narrative's going to be between episode 1 and 6. And
it's a formula.
It's a formula. And that's between episodes 1 and 6, it's all about the dynamic in the house. What is the dynamic in the house? And then the secondary story is about the relationship that the lead has with any contestant. Then at hometowns, it's usually there's one date that's fine, one family that's crazy, then one parent that is skeptical of the process, and then potentially another date that's also pretty uneventful as well. And then we get to the intercourse part of the conversation.
So, Rachel has no idea where she is. Her mind is not functioning. She is concussed. Who knows? That's sort of just how the date ends. Matt's like, I didn't talk to your dad about getting married to you. I'm not going to do that to anybody. It's important that he says that. He's like, I'm not going to ask any parents for the hand in marriage or whatever. I'm going to do that later. I'm not going to go around and ask everyone's parents about that. That's crazy. I'm just going to wait until I made my mind, and I'm going to call the parents and talk to them. Which is a good decision for Matt, and it's something everyone should just universally do all the time on the show.
That is definitely correct. I'm glad he explained, as I like to call it, the blessings process. You know, for those of us that are still doing that. So there's
the
that.
Blessings thing is weird. You should absolutely tell your...
Telling and asking are two different things.
Well, no. You should have a conversation with the parents of your, you know, fiancé before you propose. You absolutely should. But, you know, it doesn't need to be like, I'm groveling at your feet to get permission and I'm not going to do it until you do.
Girl, don't do that. That's stupid.
I think he did a nice job with that.
Yeah.
Next up, we get... I keep wanting to say we go to But we don't go anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
We go to some other place in the Nemacolin Resort.
Right.
For Bree's fake hometown, away town.
Right. So their big date is essentially they go off-roading in this beautiful green Jeep.
A lot of vehicles involved in this. We took bikes. We took a plane. We're taking cars now.
So this is interesting because we haven't heard pretty much anything from Bree in the past sort of 4 to 5 weeks.
What episode are we? 8? 7 episodes.
Yeah.
We literally haven't talked to her.
The last time we talked to Brie was during her one-on-one date, and then the last time we heard her talk more recently was last week, because she was one of the last people on the show.
She's just been... She got ahead way early. Literally episode 2, she established the leadership position, and she's just been coasting and letting everybody else drop out, which is great. That's excellent gameplay.
And I love Brie. Like, every time I listen to her talk, and again, I will make the plug... If anybody knows her, just let us know. I want to talk to her so bad.
And if she wants to talk to us, we have the world's cutest technical director.
I mean, my goodness. Can you imagine?
She's asleep on the pod right now.
Right now.
But she works long hours. Yeah. I mean, it's hard work, and she's only 20 pounds.
You know,
it's tolling on her little body.
She's a baby. So
she's only 8 months
she's
old.
She's literally a baby.
She got a haircut over the weekend and she's so perfect.
She's so clean.
She's clean.
It's great.
And soft. Oh my God. A fresh washed puppy is the most perfect thing on planet Earth.
Nothing better. So Brie is like sophisticated. She's articulate. She is... like, she's worldly, she's seen some things, she's a realist, she's, you know...
Recently unemployed.
She's ambitious, and, like, all of those things make up just such a great kind of person. The thing that Matt, I think, really likes about Brie is that he sees so many similarities between the two of them in each other. So their relationship to both being biracial and for being raised by two single moms, and not to mention that, you know, they are biracial and their moms are white, that is an identity that the two of them can really glom onto. It seems like he's really comfortable with her. He shares a lot of things with her. Again, another reason for me to be frustrated and upset, because he's not going to pick her. So the two of them talk about how Matt's always had a job since he was 12, about how the two of them really connected over their family situations. And Brie, and this was beautiful and sweet and very insightful of her, that, you know, you're going to meet my mom and my best friend, whose name is also Brie. Weird.
Right. A little diversity here.
Weird. That... her thing is, I can't really give you a conventional family. And it's like, all these things that Brie says, they're kind of sad.
I wonder if that's just like intentional producer drama. Because, I mean, know your audience over here, right? You're talking to somebody with a single mother.
Right.
This is a conventional family. First of all, who's anybody to say what a conventional family is? First of all. Second of all, your family is like his family. And you know what? He grew up just fine in it, and he knows he did. Of course this can't be a problem for him. This won't be a deal breaker.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, the things that sometimes she says, and if you really listen to her when she's in her in the moments, I mean, when she does talk, in her in the moments, or even now during this hometown, there's a lot of pain and sadness back there. But she does sound like she's going to therapy, but she needs it, in a good way. So Matt is very much, I've fallen for her, and on that page. So we get to the evening portion of the date. Matt meets, Bree's mom, her best friend Brie, and Bree's baby sister. You guys?
Baby sister is not a, like... Taylor doesn't mean the youngest sister.
I mean an infant baby.
An actual baby.
An infant baby.
Yeah.
This was great. Matt, like, was crying. He was extremely emotional about this.
It's weird because all these dates have at least... Well, Michelle's date doesn't, but all the other three dates have at least one person who is there but is never on camera.
Correct.
Like, Bree's friend Bree and Bree's baby sister, like, they're there to say hi to Matt. They're there to say goodbye to Matt, and that's the only time they're ever on the date.
It's pretty much
this
it.
Is the Bree's mom show, mm-hmm. and she is a point of conflict. She's the thing. The point of conflict in this date is the mother. She sort of doesn't really the same thing kind of as Rachel's dad. Sort of has problems with the process. Everyone's always got problems with the other women being there. You know, how many women are you saying this to? How many other parents are you telling this? You know, gassing up just like you're gassing me up. Sure. You know, the end of this date is Bree being very torn up about how and even if she is going to say that she loves Matt.
Right.
She's super worried she's going to say it and he's not going to pick her
mm-hmm.
and she's going to be embarrassed and heartbroken and mm-hmm. all those things, which I understand, but again, you got to know what you're signing up for.
But
I wonder how much of that is her actual feelings and how much of it is just the producers trying to get her to say something, because she's been so measured all season. She says nothing that could be taken the wrong way or get her into a bad edit.
Right.
You know? I don't think with her the story is that she's just been sitting back and doing nothing. I think the story with her is that she doesn't say things
mm-hmm.
that they can intentionally abuse.
Yeah.
So she just never makes it on camera.
Listen, she is one of the very few communications people on this show, and it is clear that she knows what happens in the editing room. Because if she didn't, she would be running her mouth like some of the rest of these girls who act like they've never been on TV before or been to a news station. So the most beautiful thing that I will say was really as Bree's mom was talking to her about expressing her feelings to Matt. And so Bree was really worried, like, you know, what if I say all these things and he doesn't pick me? And her mom said, worst case scenario, we're mending a broken heart together, but we'll survive.
That's sweet.
That was really nice. Like, I don't think we've ever heard a parent kind of say that. They've always basically said this thing where, you know, well, I just don't want you to get your heart broken. Like, they want to fix it. And it was nice to see, on the other hand, Bree's mom say, you know what? Sometimes stuff like this happens, but you'll have people around you that want to support you and want to help you. And we'll help pick you back up and put you on your feet.
See, I just don't... I know that this show, like, the producers put so much importance on the contestants saying I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It doesn't
mean
anything.
Saying so the various stages, I'm beginning to fall, I'm falling, yeah. I have fallen, mm-hmm. I love you, whatever. In reality, this is meaningless.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't matter what you say to somebody. If you are into them and they're not into you, it hurts. It doesn't hurt any less if you avoid saying it. This is just a weird narrative that this show has sort of, I don't know what, trademarked.
Right.
About how you go through this progression of feelings and... it's weird, you know?
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's weird to me that... I don't know if, like, Bree fell for this or she really is feeling it or whatever. It's so strange to me that somebody would be like, yeah, I'm feeling this way, but I have a hard time sharing it because I'm afraid it won't be reciprocated. What do you think a relationship is?
Right.
You know?
Anyway, so that was Bree's date. So finally, we are spending time with Serena. No need to call her Serena P anymore.
Yo,
just Serena.
This is...
Adam, do you have anything to say to me about this before we get into Serena's date?
Yeah, of course I do.
What is it?
There's no vehicles involved in this one.
Oh.
So...
That's obviously not what I was looking
for. Of course I'll say it. You were absolutely right last week.
I was.
What you said last week is that she's not really into him, which is true. Let me explain why I have a hard time with this.
Mm-hmm.
Serena is a perfect woman. She's great.
She is great.
I want somebody like Serena to win the show.
I agree.
I love Serena. She's a
total package.
If you're listening, don't even come on my show. Just contact me directly and I will leave my wife and come meet you.
Happy to have the house to myself for once.
Oh, I'm taking Busy with me.
Oh, as I said, happy to have the house to myself for once.
She can hear you.
No,
she's right here.
She's asleep. She's got her ears covered.
Serena, if you're listening, I will take the world's best dog and the three of us can start our life over again. I wanted things to work for her. It wasn't that I disagreed with you. It was that I was letting my feelings get in the way of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
She does not like him.
She doesn't like him.
It's so weird. You never see this on the show.
It's so obvious.
It's strange. It is strange that this storyline doesn't pop up more.
So
we're just supposed to expect that every contestant is just head over heels in love with the Bachelor or the Bachelorette who likely, you know, was picked after they signed up for the show. It's amazing this isn't a story more often.
Well, I think it's probably the case that most people just kind of stick with it. And that's why so many of these people aren't together. Because they actually didn't like these people.
Obviously, that's true.
So Serena's date was all about Canada. Where she
what
took...
a great date.
This was really, really fun. I mean, again, like, Serena is a fun person. So they ate poutine. They had sort of facts and trivia about Canada. They played
lingo thing, vocabulary.
Yes, we love a vocabulary quiz. They played some hockey. It was great. And so this, again, shows Serena's great attitude, her willingness to have fun, to not take herself so seriously. You can tell Matt's having a really good time. And I don't know. Like, when I think about Serena, her whole attitude, I think about Michelle, where we've seen so many instances of her be, like, funny and pithy and, like, just really hilarious in the bloopers that they've shown. Like, the fact that he's so attracted to women like that makes me like him more, even though I know that that's not how it's all going to work out. But I have a theory about that we'll talk about later.
Okay.
So they meet Serena's family, her sister, her mom, and her dad. And now, remember, her dad was the one that was kind of like, I don't know about you coming on the show and stopping your career. There was none of that conversation tonight.
I didn't remember that, and it didn't come up.
It didn't come up, and it didn't matter.
Doesn't even matter.
Didn't matter.
So, you know?
The big topic, of course, was that Matt for Serena is good on paper. He's perfect. He's wonderful. He is so into her.
This date was
just,
it was going so well. So Matt meets mom and dad. Yep. Serena talks to mom and dad. Everyone likes everyone.
Everybody's
this is going
excited.
So well, you know. We even did a little bit of ice skating earlier, which, as we all talked about, it's a great date. I couldn't enjoy it. I was too busy watching them being like, they were playing hockey. So I was like, are they really bending over like that? Doesn't that hurt?
I know.
Because of my personal experiences that regard.
It's tight back here. Thanks.
So everything is going great. And then Serena is sitting around talking with her sister. And Serena says something along the lines of, you know, on paper, he's great. And her sister says something along the lines of,
so you're falling in love with him.
So what's the problem?
Yeah.
Something is the problem. What is it?
Yeah.
And Serena does not outright say, I don't really like him. But she basically does. The ball is rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
And this is probably the longest date, because then it just spirals. Then Matt and Serena get a little outside time on his way out. Serena's like, I'm really, you know, it's not you, it's me.
Yep.
You know, I'm just dealing with trauma from previous relationships. You can't do anything about this. I just don't like you. Oh.
Drama.
She really just doesn't like him.
And this was sad because, you know, he spent so much time, and I can't figure out if he spent a lot of time with Serena because he was trying to convince her to like him back, or if he was trying to give her more time, but I think it's the former versus the latter.
Listen, sometimes, and this is a thing that women do too.
All right.
You know.
I'll be the judge of that.
It is. Sometimes it can be attractive to be into somebody who isn't super outwardly into you because you want to feel like you've won them over, you know.
Don't do this.
Also, sometimes, and this is something that I particularly have done before, you can totally see signs of people not being into you and just be so sure of yourself that you just avoid them all anyway.
Wow, Adam.
You know, you go, oh, it doesn't matter if they don't like me. Like, they'll figure it out eventually. I just gotta keep showing them.
Oh, sweetie. So sorry.
You know, I mean, what do? You can't turn it off. It is hard for him that Serena doesn't really like him because she's
really hard for him.
She is great.
She is great.
She is, and like, I like basically all four of the women left. Serena is the most complete and the most mature, mm-hmm. and like, when she's funny, she's funny, and when she's grown up, she's grown up, and mm-hmm. like, she. This woman is just the total package.
And her family is so fun, too.
Her family, everybody else's family sits around.
So fun.
The other three families, they sit down and it's like straight to business. Mm-hmm. Serena's family sits down and we're all just joking about stuff.
Yeah.
We're laughing before we do anything else. Mm-hmm. And
you could tell the energy like with her family was like night and day with everybody else.
And it starts off so well. And then, you know, Serena gives you the most Canadian way of describing this. She's like, you know, I've just got dudes, and I need to think.
I've got dudes a boot.
I just need to think about it and figure it out. And I wish I was joking. I've got dudes. I need to think about it and figure it out. And I'm like, oh my God,
it's so intense.
I hadn't forgotten that you're Canadian, but thank you for the reminder.
Yeah. So obviously everybody goes back. We're getting ourselves together for the rose ceremony. And Matt gets a visit from our friend Chris Harrison. And they talk through a little bit about how Matt really needs to, excuse my French, nut up.
Hey, great.
And force Serena to confront her feelings about him. Because he's like, I need to know. So here's what I have to say.
Oh.
Do you think that if Serena had been more into Matt, would he have picked her over what I believe to be true, that he's going to pick Rachel?
No.
She just would have been final too.
Rachel has been Matt's number one for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He just treats her differently than everybody else. It sucks, but I think he knows that Serena is sort of like, she's just an attractive person to have in the field, you know? Like,
yeah.
If you're...
She's complete, just like you said.
She is great. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a whole person who's good at everything and who's, you know, fun to be around and everything. It's not her fault it takes her a long time, you know, to warm up to people. Ugh. It's not her fault she doesn't like you. You can't help what you're into.
So Serena breaks the news to Matt that, you know, I just don't think you're my person. And Matt was really upset.
Matt was crying.
He was like, they, crying, girl.
They sort of have a conversation about it, but it's, you know where this is going.
Yeah.
It is just a long, drawn out breakup, mm-hmm. where she's just trying to politely deliver the words,
yeah,
I'm leaving because I'm not into you.
Yeah. And
it's, which I understand. It's hard. It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. And I'm sure for Matt, it's hard to hear. And it's such a dichotomy between, you know, the Kit breakup where he was like, oh, okay, cool, whatever.
Should I walk you out?
Should I walk you out?
She goes, I don't really think I want this. And he goes, okay, cool. So I'll just walk you out then.
Okay, peace out. And then this was so different. So I really wonder who he would have picked for the final three if Serena had stayed in.
Because
he would have obviously picked Serena.
I don't know. It feels like a...
Right?
I think he would have, but I don't know. I think it's interesting that the Serena date is right after the Brie date. I don't know if it actually happened that way, but the way it shows to us. Because to me, it is so much harder to have a conversation with somebody where you break up with them than a conversation where you tell somebody you love them for the first time. One of those things to me is genuinely terrifying, and the other is not at all. And I think it's weird that the two of them struggled with these two things on back-to-back dates.
Interesting.
That's the writer in me. That's the storyteller in me.
Here we go.
The narrative structure person in me, analyst. But watching those two people struggle with two opposite ends of the relationship spectrum It's just interesting.
So, I mean, I guess this means it's the end of the road for Serena.
It's the end of the road for Serena.
Wow.
What a contestant.
She was great. Like, top to bottom, like, a fun person. Didn't take herself too seriously. Did not get very involved in the drama. I mean, sometimes she said what needed to be said, but then she sort of excused herself
sometimes
from the
conversation. Sometimes that's a mature thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maturity is knowing when to pick and choose when you say things. It's not always doing one thing or the other.
Exactly.
Serena was great. I mean, in terms of like the show, and she's only 23 too. I know we give the show a hard time because we cast these 20-year-olds. This is a giant step forward.
You know, she's a Canadian 23, which means she's like 27.
Right, the metric system.
She's like 27.
I think, personally, the casting of this season, despite all of the obstacles with COVID and whatnot, has been extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the quality of the four people we have left, right?
Mm.
I mean, it's just usually at some point, there's like one woman left who's any good, and everybody else is just trash.
Yeah,
that we are not running into that this season.
So, we get to the rose ceremony, and the only question that I have really is, does order matter? So for the roses, Matt handed these out and basically gave the speech of like, you know, if you are accepting this rose, it means that you want me to propose to you. And if you don't, then that's cool, but LMK. So he gave the roses out in a particular order. And it was Michelle, Rachel, and then Brie. Brie was a little bit in her shorts because she felt like, okay, he picked me last. Like, what does that mean? I feel like he should have just gone left to right. I thought that was kind of weird that he picked Brie last too. But he also has been picking the women in his order.
It's essentially power rankings every time for him.
Yeah.
It has been. I mean, I don't know. So first of all, everyone does the math. Everyone figures out Serena doesn't show up. There's three of us here. There's mm-hmm. three roses. We're all going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows this. Alternate theory, the order that we saw the dates is the order he actually went on them, and he just gave the roses out in that order.
Oh, Adam.
Michelle, Rachel, Brie.
Adam.
I'm just throwing these things out there.
You know,
I'm saying that is a logical order in some context.
Like, intellectually, I know I can't be the person that's always right here, so I will give you that.
I've been right about Serena all season.
Okay.
I picked this girl out early and I was like, this is the one.
And yet, who said?
And now she is available. Now she is single and available.
And yet, who said that she didn't like Matt? Who was that?
I think I realized that. Hmm? I wanted her to be in the game so badly. And now that she is available to me, I'm happier.
So now it's time for Power Rankings Bold Predictions. Who's your number three for the rest of it?
I have made the choice. Now that Serena is no longer available, I have made the choice to avoid ranking the other contestants.
Okay.
Because nobody can win. I am pretty sunk on Serena being the best one. So I will just add commentary to your Power Rankings.
Okay. That's cute.
I have made the conscientious decision to object to ranking.
To opt out.
I just don't feel... To me, it doesn't matter anymore. The person that I'm into is not here anymore, and I'm not going to pretend.
Okay. My number three is Brie. I think that there is... At this point, it really is so small as he just likes someone else more. They are the same person. And that experience is so unique, especially when there's so much of you wrapped up in your identity. But I don't know if Matt can go to that depth that I think Brie can give him.
I don't know. I mean, it's so weird that Brie has made it this far. And we essentially haven't spent time with her on camera in so long.
Yeah.
Right?
And then when she starts talking, you're like, yeah, everything you're saying is right and correct.
Yeah, yes. I think it really just, it speaks to how reluctant she is to just jump into useless drama in the house.
Mm-hmm, which is great.
Which is the thing that gets you on air.
Yeah.
You know, but it does surprise me that we're this far in and we haven't spent a lot of like one-on-one camera time with her. It's just the way the season has gone. Yeah. It has nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with just the editorial choices of the rest of the house drama.
Right. So next up is Michelle. She's my number two. I think him and Michelle connect so deeply, not only on their identity, but also their philanthropy, the things that they want to do. They're both really ambitious. It was interesting that when he described Michelle to her family, he said she has strong convictions, said all of these like really powerful and great things about her, which again makes me so upset about how well this date went and how well they are matched for one another.
I think he likes Brie more than Michelle.
Really? Why?
It's just an order of operations thing. When I think Brie won him over first, and he was already into Brie long before he ever met Michelle, and I don't think he's come off of that.
Okay.
I think it's purely a sort of, you know, a psychological first in type thing. Mm-hmm. You know.
My number one is Rachel, just because he's going to pick her. I don't think she had a better date than anybody else. I think there was sort of a, my life is flashing before my eyes when she hit the ground. I didn't feel like her date was any better than anybody's. I think Michelle had a way better date than her, and not because Rachel almost died.
So the hometowns are weird here, because I think most bachelors or bachelorettes know who they're going to pick way before the hometowns, and basically the parents and family of the non-selected person don't matter for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to meet all four sets of parents and families, but you only care about one, and even then, you don't even care how it goes. Mm-hmm. You're picking that person regardless, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter. It's a nice gesture. But this doesn't move the needle for anybody.
Yeah.
These things are useless. They don't play a role in any of this. He knew he was going to pick Rachel ahead of time, even though her dad was the worst of the parents present. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter.
So, I think bold predictions. Next week is Women Tell All, which frankly is a little bit early, I think, right? Kind of?
I don't know. I was curious how or if they were going to do it.
So they're going to do it. It looks like they're going to do it in a similar...
it's an in-studio show.
It seems like in-studio. I don't know if they have people or not. It doesn't seem clear.
I thought they might Zoom it.
Of course, with some of the confusion that's been happening, there had been conversation about whether or not they would even show Women Tell All, just because the tone of it is probably... not great for some of the other things that the show needs to deal with, address, and assess. So expect next week for there to be a lot of confusion, a lot of yelling, a lot of conversation about bullying.
It's just going to be that.
So can't wait for that.
The first 5-6 weeks of the show was just women having dumb drama around the house. And guess what? We're going to get a bonus week of it now.
Can't wait.
No one's going to have learned anything.
Exactly. And then Matt's going to come out looking like a Black Paul Bunyan.
Matt has a beard.
Yep.
Why?
And
I don't think it looks particularly good.
It looks crazy.
It's not even a bold prediction. Matt has a beard.
Matt has a beard.
It's not a bold, it is an accurate observation.
And it is also unkempt. So I just want to be clear there that the look is unkempt. But we'll see if it's got any sort of personal meaning to him. Love to know more. Adam? It's been great.
I mean, yeah, it was a hometowns week. I am not looking forward to next week. I could do without it. Honestly, I don't need this in my life. You know? I don't need a bunch of women I don't know, but I think I do. I don't need them yelling at each other. It's not going to go well. It is not going to be a moment where we all grab hands and say, you know what? I'm sorry I was mean to you. We're actually friends. We've been through something that is so similar together and that binds us as one. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be mean and petty and dumb.
I mean, in a time like this, like, you guys, we went to Mars this week. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kim, there's people that are dying. And frankly, this is not the kind of conversation I want to hear and see. And until the show kind of figures out what they want to do with all of that.
They want to make the women fight each other. They've already figured it out. Dumb. They want to make them hate each other.
It's so, so dumb. So until they, I don't know, stop doing that. I guess we're just going to be in hell.
That's the show.
Okay, gang. Well, we'll see you later.
We'll fight with you next week.
Bye.
You know, you're afraid of getting your heart broken.
Because it's a grind.
When that limo pulls up,
you have a lot of distractions. And when you're vulnerable, when you put yourself out there like that, enjoy the process. There's not a lot of meaning in that stuff. And I'm looking for something meaningful.